We're going to ask now our brother Kyle Graham, a first year theological student from our Lisburn congregation, to come and read the scriptures to us, please.
If you have your Bible with you, would you turn please to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to commence our reading at the first verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and reading from the verse 1. And we read, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." We'll end our reading there at the verse 11, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word to each one. Amen.
Thank you, Kyle. We're going to ask now your brother, Garth Wilson, to come and bring the message of God to us. Garth is from our Oma congregation. He's a third year theological student. Pray for him as he comes now. I pray that the Lord will help him. And Garth, we'll leave it before you now, please.
Thank you, Johnny. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Let's seek God's help, please, in a word of prayer. You know and love the Lord, pray for the preaching of the word of God today. God will speak to your heart. God will speak through this preacher today. Our Heavenly Father, we commit now ourselves afresh into thy hand. Lord, we pray that you take us up and use us today. And we pray, O Lord, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We pray, O Lord, that you'll help us to make much of our Saviour today. Lord, help us to see thee afresh today. And O God, we pray that as we come to the scriptures of truth, we ask, O God, for that teachable spirit. We pray, O Lord, for that understanding heart to take in what you'd have to say to us. We believe, O Lord, there's a message for us today. There's been a message to my heart. And O God, I pray that it'll be a message to every waiting heart today, both to the saved and to the sinner. Our Father, we pray now that you'll help us. Go before us, we pray, and by thy Holy Spirit come and anoint this preacher we ask of thee. Give Spirit-anointed preaching, we pray. Give Spirit-anointed hearing of the word of God. O God, come. May thy power be made manifest in this meeting again this day. Lord, we'll be careful to give thee the praise and thee the glory, for thou alone art worthy. Hear this our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. After a great missionary meeting, where many hundreds, even thousands of people were gathered to hear the call of God to the mission field, a group of, as it were, Bible students gather together to discuss some of the great truths that they had been hearing. They were going to set the world right. And they had all the answers, as they thought, to the problems of this world. And one of the issues that came before them and up for discussion was what would happen and what does happen to those who are lost and never hear the gospel. Those who are lost in this world and have never heard the gospel. The debate, as you can imagine, got pretty heated, got pretty fierce. But sitting in the midst of that group of Bible students, there was an old man, a missionary, who had been giving his testimony at that same missionary meeting. And they turned to that old missionary, and they expected to hear some great theological answer as to what happens to those that are lost and who have never heard. They turned to the missionary. Rather than hearing the answer they thought they would hear, they saw tears running down the face of an old missionary. They saw tears in the face of a man who was so burdened. And he said, "My heart is breaking. My heart is breaking with the very thought that there are those in this world who have never heard the gospel of saving grace." This was a man who had a burden and had a passion for the lost souls. And in the scriptures of truth, we have many such men as well. And chief amongst them was the great apostle Paul. A man who had a burden and a passion for the lost, as you read through his writings, as you read all his letters, you cannot fail to notice just how intensely evangelical this man was. He had a heart for God. He had a heart for the people. And we knew that God had chosen a people to be saved. And he knew that the means through which God had elected to save these people was through preaching. But he also realized that God had chosen instruments. God had chosen his own redeemed people in order to reach those that are lost. He hadn't called holy angels to evangelize, but he had chosen and called his own redeemed people. As we come to these words here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul really is defending this ministry of evangelism that he has. Paul, as you will read through his writings, was always one step ahead of the gainsayers. And it's almost as you read verse 3, it's almost as if you can hear the accusations coming. Well, if your gospel is so powerful, then why is not everybody saved? Paul says, but our gospel, if our gospel be hid. He's showing here that the problem didn't lie with the message, it lay with those that heard the message. They couldn't see it. The gospel was hidden to them. Couldn't see Christ because they were spiritually blind. As we come to look at these verses, I want us to take a slightly different slant. That's the preacher's code for taking a text out of context. But I believe the Lord would have us speak upon this today. And rather than merely being a defense of Paul's ministry, which they are, I want us to see them here as lessons for us in evangelism. As we sit in this school of evangelism and seek to be taught by God, what lessons are there for us here? As we look here at this school of evangelism, I want you to see first of all with me in verse 3, the truth. The truth to be proclaimed. The truth to be proclaimed. As you are saved today, and God has called you to serve, and God has called you to be an evangelist, what is your message? What is it that you seek to bring to a world that's lost in sin? It's the gospel. The gospel. Yet what is the gospel? And why is it that we say it's the truth? What is the gospel today? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel, because it brings us to the cross. That Jesus Christ died, was buried, and praise God, rose again. And that's the message that we have to proclaim. That's the message that we have to hear. And it's the truth. Not because it's the words of this preacher. Not because it's the words of this church. But because it's the word of God. And his word is truth. I want you to see some things about this gospel. I want you to see the person of the gospel. Because as Paul preached his gospel, as he sought to reach out to those around him, he preached about a person. Because he preached Christ. He preached Christ. We knew that the miracles of Christ could never save. It was only through the death of cross of our Savior upon the cross, when he took our sin, he became our sin bearer. That's the message. Because it focuses on upon a person. And that's the truth we have to proclaim today. It's about Christ. He said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. It's centered upon a person, Christ. It's centered upon his work, his crucifixion. All the Jews, they wanted a sign. The Greeks, they wanted wisdom. But none of these things could ever save a soul. And right throughout his missionary endeavors, Paul preached about Christ and pointed men and women to him. Oh, he didn't talk about the philosophies of man. He didn't talk about the political theories of man or about social remedies. He preached Christ. What a lesson that is for us as we seek to reach out to others with the gospel. I'm sure you've experienced it. And you try to tell men and women their need to be saved. And you speak to them about the gospel. Oh, they will turn to everything in the world but Christ. They'll want to talk to you about everything, but not about Jesus Christ. They'll argue with you about evolution. They'll argue with you about why bad things happen in this world. Surely, our ultimate aim in reaching out is always to bring men and women to Christ. And to tell them of Jesus, the mighty deceiver. The person of the gospel. Notice the power of the gospel. Because while Paul preached continually Christ, and while our sole aim must be to preach Christ, why is it? It's because there's a power in the gospel that's not found in this world. There's a power in the gospel that can never be found in the remedies that are offered for sin in this world. And again, this power brings us to the cross. It brings us to the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Because there's power, praise God, in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from every stain of sin. Society will try to offer remedies. Self-help programs. Turn the life of a sinner around. But that transformation can only be found in the gospel. And child of God, today we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and it's our responsibility to go out and to preach and to teach about Jesus Christ. Because there's power in the gospel today. You look at an alcoholic, life ruined by sin. You look at a drug addict, can't get off the drugs. We've got a message that'll transform their life. And it must be declared. Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Over there in Hebrews he says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That word able there in that verse, it speaks about a power. It's where we get the English word dynamite from. And it's the gospel that will change lives. It's the gospel that has the power to transform a life. You're in this meeting without Jesus Christ today. Perhaps last night found you in a world place of worldly entertainment. Perhaps last night found you in the pubs of this town, the clubs of this town. You're seeking for peace. You're seeking for happiness. You're trying to find it in the things of this world. You'll only ever find it in Christ. Because there's a vacuum in all of our hearts that's God-shaped and can only ever be God-filled. Charles Darwin, that leading atheist of his day, visited the South Sea Islands in the South Pacific. When he visited there on his first trip, he found nothing but savagery and cannibalism, evil and wickedness. Just over 20 years later, he came back to those same islands. But he saw a change in the lives of the people. He saw families who were united. He saw lives who were transformed. Why? Because a man by the name of John Patton, a missionary, left his homeland and went to that place. Preached Christ and saw lives transformed. What is it today that Dromore needs? What is it today that our country, our nation, our entire world needs? The gospel. The gospel. Possession of this gospel as well. We see it here in verse 3. F.R. Gospel. This is something Paul personally possessed. He knew the power of the gospel in his own life. Oh, this is not just some remote ideology. This is not something that would have no effect upon a life. This is something personal. Sinner, today, this is something you can have yourself. What Jesus Christ has done in my life, praise God, he can do for you. And as we seek to go out and reach others with the gospel, and as you over these next few weeks seek to bring others in under the preaching of the Word of God, you go out in the knowledge and the assurance that God can do the same for others as he's done in your life. The first lesson we learn here is the truth to be proclaimed. But I want you to see further with me here the tragedy to be avoided. The tragedy to be avoided. Verse 3 again. If our gospel be hid, it is hid. Christian, today we have this gospel. We have this message that can change a life. We have this truth that this world needs to hear. There's a tragedy that we must avoid, and that is that it's hid. Yes, as we shall see in a moment, sinners cannot see the gospel because they're spiritually blind to it. But yet in another sense, and particularly in relation to our theme of reaching out, our theme of evangelism, there's a tragedy that sinners don't see the gospel in our lives. The gospel can be hidden in a number of ways. Let me suggest to you just two. The gospel can be hidden by our lives. Hidden by our lives. Over there in the next chapter, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, in the verse 17, we have that familiar verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We're changed. And therefore, that change ought to be seen. It ought to be witnessed in our lives. You get something new. You get a new car. People will see it. You bring your new car to church and, oh, you got a new car. How do they know it? The old one's not there anymore. They see what you have now. And that's what the sinners should see in us. That we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. That there's something different about us. Our old life is gone and it's replaced with a new life in Jesus Christ. Turn over with me, please, to the book of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 5. And here's Christ's great sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 14 with me, please. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 14. Look what he says. Ye, you all, every Christian, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You put something on the very top of a hill, you'll see it. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. What's the point in lighting a candle and hiding it? Your electric goes off in your house. What's the point of putting a candle and putting it somewhere where it's going to be no use? Hiding it. What does he say? But on a candlestick, so that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Here's the great command, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light, the light of the gospel that is shone into your heart, let it shine before men. Why? That they may see. They may see. As I read that verse again this week, the Lord greatly challenged my life. What do people see in this life? What do people see in me? Oh, they know you're at Bible college. But do they see Christ? Are the things I do, or is my gospel hidden? We're told to be epistles of the word, living epistles. You've heard it. I'm sure you've heard it often, and it bears repetition. The sinner may never read the Bible. Sadly, many don't. But they'll read our lives. And what is it they see? What do they read when they read our lives? See, we ought to be signposts. Signposts to the Saviour. Does my life show for the Lord? We've been evangelists even in our manner of life. Not only hidden by our life, but it's also hidden by our lips. Not only is there tragedy of a hidden gospel by our lives, but also by our lips, that we fail to speak for Christ. Oh, we'll talk about the weather. I'll do it. Good day today. Bad day today. wet today. As I was preparing this sermon, I have to be honest, I lost count of the number of times I spoke about the weather this week. But how many times did I speak about Christ? Paul says we're to be ambassadors. Ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. What's an ambassador? Ambassador is a spokesman for his home country in a foreign land. Christian, today, this world is not our home. Our inheritance is in heaven. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we ought to be speaking of Christ, ambassadors for Christ, of the heavenly land. Pointing men and women to the Savior. Telling them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Tragedy to be avoided. Our gospel is hid. Oh, may our lives shine for Christ. And may our lips speak for Christ. As we meet people on a day and daily basis, people who are ruined by sin, people whose lives are wrecked, broken, we speak to them about Christ. And tell them of the power there is in the gospel. The truth to be proclaimed, the tragedy to be avoided. But finally, as we close, notice the people to be reached. The people to be reached. Verse 3 of our gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lost. That description of the sinner today ought to send shivers down the spine. That description, sorry, of the sinner ought to send shivers down the spine of every Christian. Lost. If you're in this meeting without Jesus Christ, you're lost. The sense of this word here is perishing. Dying. And it's to those people that God commands us to go. To reach out into the town of Tremor. To reach out into our families. Why? Because they're lost, they're perishing, they're dying in sin. Notice their condition in verse number 4. They're blinded in whom the God of this world hath blinded. They cannot see the gospel because they're spiritually blind. Well, physical blindness must be a terrible affliction. Yet spiritual blindness is a greater disease, a more awful disease, because if it's not remedied, then the consequences of it are fatal. Not just physical death, but eternal death. If when you come, sinner, to the end of your life, and you're still lost, it doesn't matter who or what you are. The Bible says you'll be eternally lost in hell. Notice their control. Verse number 4, the God of this world hath blinded. It speaks of an exercising of a control over the lost, keeping them lost. Do you know what the devil's plan for you is? To keep you blinded and to make you more blind. That's the tactics of the God of this world. He keeps the gospel from the sinner and he keeps the sinner from the gospel. You say to one who's lost today, one who's lost in sin, no, there's somebody who's your master. Well, they'll say to you, no, I'm a free agent. I can live as I please. I can do as I want. Nobody's telling me what to do. If I could bring into this pulpit today one whose life is ruined by drugs, by alcohol, by vice, whatever. If I were to ask them, when they took their first drink, their first drop of alcohol, did they ever intend that it would end up this way? Did they ever intend that their life would be wrecked, their home would be wrecked? No. But this is the power that Satan exercises over the life of the sinner. And yet, Christian, we have a message that will set them free. We have a message today that will take the sinner out of the bondage of sin and bring them into the light and the liberty of the gospel. Let's go out and reach them. Let's go out and tell them of Christ. Notice their cure. Verse 4, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. We're back full circle. We're back where we started. What's the cure for spiritual blindness? It's the gospel. I say it again, and I'll keep saying it, because it needs to be heard. Sinner, you don't need this church. You need Christ. He alone can open your blinded eyes. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's about coming to Jesus Christ with all of your sin. And he'll dispel the blindness and the darkness of your heart. There's a great message even there for us as believers today, I believe. Great cry, so-called evangelicals today is, sinners are not being saved. Well, let's change the message. Let's preach the gospel, but don't tell them about sin. Let's not upset people. Oh, yes, preach about the God of love. But don't mention about the God of holiness and the God of justice who demands punishment for sin. Change the message and then change the method. Well, preaching doesn't really seem to be working today, does it? So let's change the method. Let's bring in the mime artists to mime out the gospel. You show me in the Word of God. You tell me in the Word of God where God tells me that preaching is outdated. We need to go out with this same message that Paul had, the message of Jesus Christ, and we need to preach it. We're not to be performers, we're to be preachers. I wonder today, as I've asked my own heart this week, how do we measure up? In this school of evangelism, how do we measure up? Spurgeon, Mr. Spurgeon, the great London preacher, he said, if sinners will be damned, sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. Christian, today, may we get a vision for the lost that will only come through a greater love for the Saviour. May we hear, like old Murray McShee, the tramp, tramp, tramp of sinners on their way to hell. Give me a vision, Lord, I pray. Vision of souls in a world in need. Loved ones and friends, the one next door. Then let me see there are millions more. Give me a vision. Heart-stirring vision. Open my eyes today. Show me the sighing, the doomed, and the dying. Give me a vision, I pray. As you commence in this gospel campaign, may God give each one of us a greater vision of our gospel be hid. It is hid to them that are lost. May God bless his word to our hearts.